So it was about 2 years ago, about this time, as a matter of fact, and I had ended a 10-year relationship that was uncommitted and went through a bad breakup. And then I decided, you know, I want to get married. I want to be in a relationship. And I thought, okay, so what do my people do? We find matchmakers. So I started talking to matchmakers. And the Jewish matchmakers didn't have people of color and didn't have queer people. And then the black queer matchmakers didn't have Jewish people. And I was like, well, I could help you with your database. But my friend said I couldn't take on another project. So that meant I went back to the apps. Oh my gosh, the apps, you know, the swiping and the messaging. And so I messaged this one person and they wrote back immediately. And I thought, okay, score, that's it. Like, check off, we're ready, we're done. And so we talked for a while, and she was a personal trainer, and she was, really committed to family, and her sister had met her husband, and they'd gotten married 2 weeks later, and she just believed in really family values. And I was like, okay, let's meet. So we were going to meet at this restaurant, and I walked in. I got there early. Now, I'm late to everything. Oh, my gosh, I never realized that. And I was there early. I should have known. So I got there early, and I went up to the hostess, and I said, you know, I'm going to be meeting someone here. And she looked up at me, and she went, you are so beautiful. That has never happened to me. I was like, femme on point, okay. This is gonna work out, you know. And so then this beautiful, like, dreadlock butch woman shows up, and sitting across the table from me, she says things like, if I'm chosen, I believe in commitment and working through, like, the difficult times. And I was just, okay. And I thought, whatever else happens, you know, we can work through it, right? I thought about my Orthodox kin, and, like, they go on 6 dates, and then they get married, and I thought, we can do this, and it's going to be okay. So things were pretty good. And on my birthday in the springtime, she gave me a ring. Now, when she gave it to me, I heard her say, will you be my wife? She later on, in therapy, of course, because she said, I didn't say that. I said, will you be my lady? But regardless, I started planning a wedding. And I found the best cake and the caterers and the limo and the flowers. And it was going really, really well. And then Lent came around. And for those who don't know, Lent is this, I guess, 40-day period where people can abstain from things right before Easter. It's kind of like Yom Kippur, but it goes on for like 40 days. And she just mentioned to me, sitting across the table, I'm giving up sex for Lent. I like sex. So this was a problem, right? I mean, therapy, right? You know how we got there. So I was like, okay, I guess I can. I'm giving up sex for Lent because, you know, it's a sin. Sex between two women or two men is a sin. Okay, all right. We can work with that, I guess, you know. So I kept planning a wedding. So I got this person to make our ketubah. It was really amazing, this, like, internationally known person. And then I reached out to this woman who is regendered Torah. And so she, like, wrote up the ketubah in feminized Hebrew. It was really spectacular.
A ketubah is a wedding contract.
Thank you so much. And then, at the time, my 54-year-old self went to a tattoo parlor and got this matching tattoo with her, 11-6-22, which was going to be our wedding day. So it got time to send out the invitations, and she looked at the proof and she said, I like all of it, but can you change the word wedding to commitment ceremony? And I said, well, why? And she said, because sex between two women is an abomination, and I really don't want to throw my sexuality in people's faces. So I said, okay, we can work with this. I really am an optimist sometimes. So it got time to send out those invitations that said commitment ceremony. And I said to her, I sent her a text because she worked a lot, and I sent a text saying, listen, should I send out these invitations? Things seem a little strange between us. And she didn't respond. Hey, this is my second text message. Should I send out these invitations? Things seem a little strange. No response. You know, it's very normal to have cold feet before a commitment ceremony. Should I send out these invitations? And she said, yes, absolutely. And that was on a Thursday. And on Monday, in therapy, she announced, I've been talking to a lot of people, and I just want to postpone this wedding indefinitely. Now, what you probably don't know, if you're planning a wedding, get the insurance. Because in the wedding industry, I guess this happens. And I couldn't get my money back for the flowers, or the cake, or the caterer, or the limo, or any of it. So what was I going to do? I sent an email out to all of my friends, and I said, hey, you know, I'm getting some photographs. I see that you've gotten our invitation. The wedding is off, actually. Or you might be getting the invitation in just a few days, but there won't be a wedding. However, I'm throwing a kick-ass party. And it's going to be on November 6th, and it's going to be called Loving Ourselves. And I made this playlist with lots of Lizzo, you know, and like Beyonce, you know, you should have put a ring on it. And it felt really, really good. And so my friend of mine and I were driving up to the party place, and the sky opens up. Now, of course, I had ordered a tent, but the tent was half the size it was supposed to be. So the cake was okay, the caterers were okay, but all of the guests were going to be out in the rain. And I started praying. You know, in Torah, we see and hear that Hannah prayed so fervently that people thought she had been drinking. And that's what happened for me. I started praying first, like, oh gosh, please, Shekinah, please, Goddess, like, make the rain stop. And then I stopped praying that, and I started praying, please let me accept things the way they need to be. Please let me make peace with what is your will for me. And we drove up to the party, and the rain slowed down. And then my friends showed up. And also the alcohol showed up. And we danced, and we sang, and we ate. And this really good friend of mine, who I had worked with probably 8 years previously, came to the party, too. I kind of always had a crush on her, but... And so she said, I can't believe the story you're telling me. The same thing just happened to me 6 weeks ago. And she said, I brought you a present. A present. And it was this necklace with a lotus flower. And she said, because beauty can come from the muck. And you are really, really strong. And so I want you to remember that. So after a lot of drinks, I said to her, listen, I'm really up right now. But in a year, I'm going to come and find you. And then she kissed me. And we've been together ever since. in my drunken state, I said to her at one point, oh my gosh, can you believe I got this tattoo and I'm like 54 years old? And the next day she said, thank you for getting a tattoo of the day that we actually found each other again. At Hanukkah this year, she said, I have a present for you. I'm going to go out and get it. And she was gone for like 6 hours. And I thought, what the hell kind of present could she possibly be getting? And she came back. And she had gotten a matching tattoo. So, sometimes what we need and what we want comes to us in packages and in ways that we weren't expecting. For me, being out is paramount because I work with a lot of queer kids, and me being out saves lives. I want to lift up the resilience and tenacity of all of the people who have shared their stories. And if there are folks out there who are struggling, remember, oh, I forgot the best part. So we're at this party, right? And it had been raining. And then the sun came out. And there was a rainbow in the sky. I have pictures of it. The rainbow comes. There is hope. Don't give up. Thanks.